Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Today is Lorena's birthday. And when you turn 98 years old, we'll sing for you in church too, okay? But let's sing happy birthday to Lorena. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. All right, mark it on your calendars. 2 years from today, we're going to throw the biggest birthday party when she turns 100, okay? Lorena, we love you, and you are a blessing and an inspiration. Happy birthday, and may God bless you. Also, next Sunday, we're going to have baptisms. So if you have never been baptized, and you would like to be baptized next Sunday, let me know. Turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2. I hope you've had a good week. I know some of you have had a kind of a rough start to the year, but don't lose hope. God is good and He is with you. And we're praying that 2023 will be a fantastic year for all of us. I had a good week, but I also had kind of a discontent within me this last week, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I mean, things are going well. Things are going good. There's nothing to really complain about. But there was just a discontent within me, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And at first I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm not being true to my New Year's resolutions. You know, the experts say that about this time, you know, in the middle of January is when some of our resolutions get sidetracked, you know, but that really wasn't happening to me. And I couldn't quite place this discontent in my spirit. I had a completely different message planned for today in this series that we're in that I'm calling New Year, New Possibilities, which, by the way, when I preach these messages to you, these come from my heart. I don't preach canned sermons. I know of pastors who go on the internet and find their sermons, and that's kind of sad to me. When I preach to you, it's the message that God lays on my heart through the study of God's Word. And so I believe what I preach to you, and I hope you know me well enough to know that that's true. I really believe that God gives me messages, and I speak them to you. And so I had a message planned for this week, and then with this kind of this discontent in my spirit and in my soul this week, and it was nothing bad, God had me turn to Joel chapter 2. And I read through Joel chapter 2, and I want to read this passage to you here today, which kind of set the course for a whole new message that I believe God would have me bring to you today. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Joel was one of the prophets of God in the Old Testament who spoke a very profound and prophetic word to his people. And it's a word that is still applicable and needed today for God's people in the year 2023. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God. and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Father, this is a powerful word. This is a prophetic word spoken by your servant. This is a word that the people of God back then needed to hear, and this is a word that your people need to hear today. And I don't understand all the complexities involved in this prophecy, but there's enough there for me to realize that you are about to do a great and mighty work. And whatever it is that your spirit is wanting to do, God, I want to be a part of that. I want to be ready. I want to be used of you. And I know I worship with a church family that feels the same, that we want to be used by you and your spirit as you pour out your spirit upon us. Oh God, this is a new year with new possibilities, but we cannot do this on our own. The scriptures make it very clear that we need you and we need your spirit. So whatever it is you are about to do, whatever it is you are wanting to do, God, we are open and receptive for you to work in and through us. In your name I pray. Amen. So it hit me. That discontent I was feeling this week. God was asking me, John, when's the last time you had a big dream? And so let me just tell you a little bit about the conversation I had with God this week. I said, God, you know, I try to dream all the time. I have dreams for the church, and I want to see you moving as never before. I mean, just this last week alone, we've had three new small groups spring up spontaneously. There was no committee meeting that said, let's plan these. They're just happening. We have a young adult group that just spontaneously sprung with about half a dozen young people in their 20s and 30s who are committed to meeting every week and to dive into God's word and to hold each other accountable. I say thanks be to God. Nobody told them to do that except the Spirit of God. We have a ladies group that just spontaneously got together and said, you know what, we want to get together and study God's word and pray for each other and hold each other accountable and be used of God however God wants to use us. And I say, thanks be to God for that. And at Tim's work, his Mormon boss asked him to lead a Christian Bible study at his work. I say, thanks be to God for that. I say, yes, God, you're working. I have dreams for our church. I want to see your spirit working and moving as never before. And that's happening. God said, yes, I am working and moving. But John, when's the last time you really had a big dream? And that's where my discontent had come from, because we have a tendency to kind of get in a rut. And God was right, as he always is, that I really needed to be searching, seeking, and to dream bigger and grander than I ever had before. This verse here in Joel chapter 2 is actually pretty phenomenal. Verse 28, verses 28 and 29. I will pour out my spirit on all people. What God is saying is that his spirit in these last days is going to become inclusive. Whereas before, God's spirit rested upon certain individuals or certain people, God is saying, in those days, my spirit will have no limits. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, this is mind-blowing. You have to remember, this was written in a day and age when women were not considered on the same level as men. Women were considered subpar. Back then, women were to know their place. They were to sit down and shut up. And what's sad is that even today, however advanced civilization has become, even in the year 2023, there are still places around the world and even pockets here in America where women are told to sit down and shut up, know your place. But look at what God's word says here. I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? It means to speak the word of God. I will pour out my spirit and men and women will speak the word of God. That is amazing. I think of the miracle Jesus did in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, there was a man who was deaf and mute. Couldn't hear and he couldn't talk. And we know what Jesus did. Reached down and did the miraculous. And the man could hear and the man could talk. I want to propose to you today, our culture and even our churches are filled with a lot of people who are mute. They can't speak. They talk. Yeah, people talk. There's a lot of talking going on. But there's very little prophesying. And I believe God wants to unmute those who will be filled with the Spirit of God and they will speak the very Word of God. And that promise is available to you. God, pour out your spirit so that the church will stop talking gibberish and begin to proclaim the very word of God. The other miraculous thing here that I find astonishing is the last part of verse 28 where it says, old men will dream dreams. Now that's pretty astonishing because when I think of old men, this is what I think of. I think of old men just getting together and grumbling and complaining. Rah, 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 rah. Look at the way the world's going. Ah, my back's going out. You know, all these things. And you know what? I'm inching. Every year I'm getting closer and closer to that. Old men dream dreams? Really? Yes, that's what God promises. That even in old age, even in advanced age, God's Spirit will ignite within those who are older this ability to dream big, God-sized dreams. And church, I believe in this new year that God wants to do something amazing. He wants to do something incredible. This is a new year, and it's filled with new possibilities. And what God was speaking to me this last week, this discontent, is that in the mundane complexities of life, I needed to get back alone with God and I needed Him to give me a dream. Because what happens when God's people dream is that His Spirit is unleashed and amazing things happen far beyond what we could ever conceive of on our own. So a couple thoughts that God gave me this week about what happens when God's people dream. First, a God-inspired dream, and this may seem obvious to you, but a God-inspired dream must originate from God Himself. In other words, this is not something that we can conjure up on my own. This is not something we can think of on our own. A God-inspired dream must come from God Himself. Now, everything that God does, we know that Satan wants to counterfeit. And so, Hitler, for example, had a dream, but it certainly wasn't originated from God. We would say what Hitler did and his desire for world domination and the eradication of people was a demonic dream. We know that evil people scheme and plan and plot and dream, you know. There's a group of people who are planning on robbing a bank. That doesn't originate from God. But even apart from that, there are those dreams and desires that come from the flesh. You know, I can dream all day. Man, I want to drive a Lamborghini, right? That's a nice dream to have. But that's a fleshly desire, right? What we're talking about this morning are dreams that originate in the heart of God and that He plants inside of you. And so God-inspired dreams originate from God himself. And so one of the things God is asking me to do, and I just want to convey to you, is get along with God and say, God, what is it that you would have for me in this new year? What dream do you want to plant inside of me? And then let's see what God does. The next thing is that a God-inspired dream is way bigger than anything we could ever accomplish on our own. God is not going to give you a dream that you can manufacture and manage on your own. A God-sized dream is going to be something way bigger than you could ever possibly imagine. Now, the good news is that he who began this good work in you is faithful and will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's our verse for the month. And so if God plants this dream inside of you, he's not going to leave you on your own. He's going to help you, but it's going to be a bigger dream than you could have ever conceived of on your own. The next thing is that a God-inspired dream will always bring about the greater good. Not just good for yourself, but the greater good. A God-inspired dream will always bring about the greater good. I'm thinking of the great dreamer in the Old Testament. You know who I'm talking about, Joseph. Joseph had a couple of unusual dreams of his own, and then God gave him this incredible ability to be able to interpret the unusual dreams of others. And God used Joseph, and by the way, if you're looking for an interesting case study in the Bible to really focus on the life of Joseph. Amazing life, how Joseph was just continually responsive to the moving of God. But God used Joseph through all the lows, and he went through some terrible lows, by the way. You think you're having it difficult in life, read through the life of Joseph. His family turned on him. They stripped him of his clothing. You know, they sold him into slavery. He was imprisoned. He was accused of sexual assault. I mean, he went through it all. But through the dreams that God gave him and the ability to interpret dreams, God used Joseph to bring about the greater good. And the greater good was saving the lives of millions of people from famine. And so a God-inspired dream that is bigger than anything you could conjure up on your own will always bring about the greater good. God, we believe you're the God of all things good. What dream are you planting within me that you might use me or our group or our church for the greater good? And finally, a God-inspired dream will always accomplish God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's the phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A God-inspired dream will always accomplish God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's a lot to take in. Because here you're now talking about issues such as justice and righteousness, restoration, equality. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, plant within me a dream, a God-sized, God-inspired dream for this new year and in the years to come that would bring about your perfect will on earth as it is in heaven. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. That day has become a federal holiday because God used Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. with all his imperfections and with all his frailties. He was not a perfect man. None of us are perfect. But God used him to help not only steer the course of this country, but really the direction of the world regarding issues of equality and righteousness and justice. And God gave him this dream Well, watch this abridged version of his speech for yourself. Because here's a man who had a God-sized dream.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Exalted. And every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside. Let freedom ring in Windy Cabin. When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Amen. God gave Martin Luther King Jr. a dream. And he was just a person like any of us. And I believe God's not done giving us dreams. If only we will ask him and seek him and say, "God, what new possibilities do you have in store for me and for us in this new year? Give me a God-inspired dream."
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.